You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Tribe Supper, your go-to Middlesbrough FC podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Musgrove, and today I'm joined by Dom Shaw. Craig isn't available to join us on today's episode. He's been up to see Chris Wilder, held a press conference in person for the first time in quite a while, so he's a bit snowed under with all that Chris Wilder had to talk about, and we will get on to what the manager had to say, of course, after that fantastic win against Spurs in the FA Cup. And Dom, that's the only place we can really start. What a performance, what a result for Middlesbrough, and a big, big draw coming up in the next round as well.
Yeah, it was a brilliant night. It was a fantastic. I think the thing was, at Man United, obviously it was an incredible night. But there was an acceptance afterwards that Borough had obviously rolled their luck a little bit. You know, Manu had missed a handful of chances. Ronaldo had missed his penalty. Although Borough did play very, very well on the night, that was the feeling. But on Tuesday night, Borough absolutely deserved to win. There was no arguments there. And Antonio Conte said as much afterwards. Half-time in extra time. I mean, the first half of extra time was just breathless and brilliant. Borough ran rings around them. And at half-time in extra time, I thought then, this is going to be so harsh on Borough, so cruel if they don't end up going through. A couple of things. I think when you're playing against a team like that, and when you've got Kane and Son up top, as disappointing as Spurs were on the night, you're always aware, aren't you, that all it takes is a split second, and it's turned like that. So you can never truly relax, even though Borough were dominant. And the other thing, often what it's like in extra time. The intensity drops, A, because of fatigue, and B, because the players are kind of conscious of what's coming and are scared of losing the game. But Borough were just fearless and just kept coming and kept coming. Even after they scored the goal, they didn't drop deep and invite the pressure on. And the atmosphere was just incredible. And the prospect of another occasion like that at the Riverside, undoubtedly a sellout, the champions of Europe in town, that promises to be another fantastic occasion.
Certainly does. Of course, they've drawn Chelsea in the next round. Let's talk about a few of the players who stood out. Now, everyone is talking about Housen, Lumley. I mean, there was a save right at the end of the game where it took a deflection off a Borough player and he had to adjust really quickly. It was a fantastic save. But just before we get on to those couple of players, I just want to throw in Saul Bamba. Now, I know he came on very late, but I tell you what, there was a challenge. He only made
from post.
What an important tackle that was, because otherwise, I can't remember who the player was. He was in. He was one-on-one with the keeper. What a challenge that was. And, it's been a remarkable story for him. But it just sums up that kind of moment right there, bringing him on when you need to show up the game. It sums up why he's still in and around this squad.
And Lee Peltier as well for that very reason, because Peltier came on at half-time in extra time and didn't put a foot wrong, just as he hadn't at Manchester United. And I think, the thing with both of these players is they were brought in the summer. Warnock knew what he'd played, he'd managed them previously. Big characters coming in for that experience. And they've both proved to be, obviously they weren't the headline additions in the summer by any means, but they've both proved to be excellent signings and neither of them have ever come close to letting Borough down this season. And, we all know Bamba's story and what he's been through. I listened to Steve Crossman's, they did an All About Middlesbrough pod before the game, and it was on BBC before the game on Tuesday night. And the Bamba interview was just great, as ever, just kind of radiating his positivity. And you can just see why he's such a big character and a big personality around the place and the effect he'll have on the dressing room. But as you say, there were so many individuals that you could pick out. Obviously, we're going to highlight a few, but across the pitch, Borough were brilliant.
Well, we've talked about one man there who's aging and heading towards the end of his career in Bamba. And one of the men who stood out, and I think he got man of the match, actually, was Housen. And he's not exactly a young chap, is he? And he was running that game. And, of course, he did go off towards the end, and he did look like he was feeling it towards the end. But, you know, that's expected with the effort he put in. He was across everything. He was getting the tackles in. He was making the passes. There were some lovely runs he was making. He was playing out of his skin. It was an absolutely superb performance from him.
Oh, I was saying this the day after. Borough fans still talk about the Mendieta performance against Man United. You know, if you say the Mendieta game, everyone knows which game you're on about. I think this is one of those performances that will be talked about for years down the line. And initially I'm thinking, am I just getting carried away in the immediate aftermath of a game? But I still feel that way 3 days on, which is normally a reflection that, you know, you might be onto something. You know, captain, leading by example, up against Spurs, a team that had dominated, battered Leeds a few days earlier. Harry Winks, you know, former England international, you know, perhaps still on Gareth Southgate's radar. Housen just absolutely bossed it. And I think the other thing is, we know how Harry Kane plays now. He's not a number nine, is he? He drops so deep. You know, we saw how he played against Leeds. He drops into 10. He almost drops into an 8 and 6 at times, doesn't he? So Housen had to not only be aware of what was in front of him with the midfield, but also kind of what was coming behind and Son and Kane dropping into those pockets. He just absolutely bossed the game. It was one of the most dominant performances I've seen, and when his name was announced as man of the match at the end of the game, the kind of roar of approval and recognition told you everything, really. You know, he's 33-year-old, but given the way he plays, you know, he's all action. You'd think at that stage, is he having to slightly alter his game to take into account his kind of how long he's been at it, but nothing of the sort. He's playing as well now as he ever has done for Borough.
There's a question of his future because his contract runs out at the end of this season. So has Chris Wilder mentioned anything about whether we think he'll be getting a new deal? Because, I mean, I suppose performances like that, if the mind hasn't already been made up, and of course it might come back to House and say, you know, I want guaranteed first team football, etc., etc. But performances like that can only make the decision a lot easier, can't it?
Yeah, I don't know whether there's an option or whatever. You know, I don't know whether there was any extension option put in when he signed his extension last year. But I don't foresee any issues. You know, I can well imagine that Chris Wilder's going to be desperate to keep Johnny Housen around. There's no reason at this stage that Housen is going to want to move elsewhere, I don't think, without being privy to any conversations that have been had. I think the thing with Housen is he is the ultimate professional, isn't he? So Chris Wilder will be keen to focus on the promotion race, and you know he's already said he'll put any contracts to the back of his mind for now and prioritise the games. Housen's the type where that won't bother him. You know, he won't let any kind of uncertainty foster away in his mind. You can see that it's not affecting his performances at all. So I don't foresee any big issues there. And I think the other thing, just with Housen, sorry, in his interview afterwards, he was talking about, you know, being a role model, the likes of him and Sol Bamba and Lee Peltier, how they've got to set the example and set the standards for the likes of Marcus Tavernier and Isaiah Jones and Josh Coburn and Anthony Dykstra, Mark Bowler, all those players who, you know, are kind of 8, 9, 10 years younger. And there aren't many better role models, really. You know, no nonsense, just gets on with it, no thrills, just you know, the ultimate professional on and off the pitch. And, you know, having those characters round is of crucial importance, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, like we say, he got man of the match and it was thoroughly deserved. Lumley, now, you know, we've mentioned in this podcast, you know, he's got his critics and some of the criticism he gets is thoroughly deserved. And we kind of saw the best and worst of him against Spurs. He had a start which probably had a lot of people watching the game through their hands, and then he suddenly turned into this world-class goalkeeper for some of the game, and some of the saves he was pulling off were absolutely brilliant. And you know, we need to see that on a more consistent basis with him.
Yeah, fair play to him, because obviously there was the rush of blood in the first half when he came tear arsing out the goal and almost got punished. And there was a few nervy moments in the first half when he came, obviously that he was playing as a sweeper. That's clearly the instruction that he's had, and fair play to him. He was off his line. There was no kind of indecision there. There was that one time when obviously he got caught out. And given his shaky performances of late and the fact that, you know, you can sense a bit of nervousness in the stands, to recover from that first half scare the way he did and make a string of saves. I mean, there was one, the Son back heel, where it almost looked like it was in and he managed to get down to it. Then there was the saves late on. There was a free kick which he tipped around the post. I think it was Dyer's free kick which he tipped around the post. I think it shows his strength of character, really, to come back from that, and fair play to him. He was, you know, obviously Coburn gets all the plaudits for the winner, Johnny Howson for his man of the match performance, Marcus Tavernier for his excellence in midfield, and Isaiah Jones on the right. But Lumley played as important a role as anyone in Borough's victory. And hopefully that can kind of give him the boost to kick on now and to you know, keep a string of clean sheets. And you know, he wasn't helped at Barnsley. Yeah, the goal that went through his legs, you know, he won't have enjoyed watching that back. But he wasn't helped by the defensive performance in front of him. Borough were uncharacteristically shaky there. but rock solid on Tuesday night, and hopefully that'll be the case on Saturday against Luton.
Before we talk about Coburn, because a tremendous strike, you can understand why Alan Shearer was raving about it. If he'd hit one like that, he would have certainly been happy with it. It was a really, really good goal, and a deserved one as well for Middlesbrough. Just talk about the return of Crooks, because obviously he's been missing the last two games because of suspension. And I don't know about you, Dom, but you could see the gap left with his absence, and he came back in, and against Spurs, he put in a very good performance, and it just makes that midfield question, you know, even a tougher dilemma, but a welcome dilemma for Chris Wilder.
Yeah, it was unfortunate for Riley Magree, because obviously Crooks's suspension was an opportunity for Magree, and he was excellent against West Brom, really good. And then obviously he gets his little calf strain, so he missed out against Barnsley when he'd have obviously started, and James Lea-Saliki came in and that didn't quite work. So it was unfortunate, really, the timing of that for Magree, because it was a real opportunity for him. But yeah, Crooks has been hugely important this year, and I think, but he was one of the players who, you know, if you were going to say who don't you want to have to go without for a couple of games, it would have been Crooks. And he was as influential as ever on Tuesday night. He's been a fine signing, and as you said, with Magree fit again now, you know, Wilder said this morning, good news on the injury front. We had this conversation last week. In the midfield, it's hard to see where he gets in, really, as impressive as he was against West Brom, because, you know, who do you drop out? Tavernier, who's getting better by the week, and appears to be silencing those critics that I thought were pretty ridiculous in the first place. Crooks, who you know, kind of picks itself, and then Howson, who's obviously always going to start. So the only, then, you know, we talked about does Tavernier move to left wing back, but now Mark Ball is available again and came off the bench. So, but as you say, this is what Wilder wants, isn't it? You know, when he first came in, he talked about turning to the bench in games and perhaps not seeing the depth and the options that he wanted. Well, he's certainly got that now. And you would say he's going to need it when you look at the kind of fixture flurry coming up, especially with the rearranged Cardiff game now, because there's an extra cup tie to put in. You've got Sheffield United next week, which is a rearranged game. So it's this spell. We know that Wilder doesn't tinker for the sake of it, but I think, you know, he'll have to manage his squad closely and carefully, really, over the coming weeks.
Well, in his press comments today, he did say there are a few tired legs, but we have to recover quickly. And he was talking about the recovery after the Man United game. He said it was a tough week after that to recover. Then he says, they're going to be more tough weeks. These weeks ahead will be tough, and there will have to be a lot of emphasis placed on recovery to go again. And I guess, though, that need for recovery, as tough as it will be, it's made a little bit easier, as we've said, by the choices he has got, say in the centre midfield area or the midfield area in general, where, you know, if someone is feeling a bit tired, he knows he has got quality to come in, and someone can come and play the same role if Crooks has to drop out or what have you.
Yeah, we've seen him rotate the centre forwards between the four, and obviously he's got Coburn there as well, as proven on Tuesday night. The defence kind of picks itself, and you look at that back three of Dyke, Steele, Fry and McNair, and you think he'll only change that if he has to, really, you know, if he's absolutely forced into it. McNair went off on Tuesday night, for example. But even then, you've got, you know, reliable players like Lee Peltier and Sol Bamba to come in. You've got Nathan Wood, who we haven't really seen, but is there in the background. Now Mark Bowler's fit. You've got Neil Taylor, who could potentially tuck inside. So he does have options there. It's the midfield where he hasn't really, you know, that's the obvious three. But when you look at the work that they go through, House and Tavernier and Crooks, you know, will there come a time when he has to tinker with those? And McGree's certainly going to be knocking on the door, judging by that West Brom performance last week. And then there's Martin Piero as well. Obviously, he's injured. His injury was, you know, very untimely for him, unfortunate. It that kind of sums up his season, really. But when he's back, it's just another something else for Wilder to ponder.
Let's talk about Coburn then. I would say a great strike. Came off the bench knowing that Middlesbrough needed a goal, obviously, to get through. And he's just been on this kind of meteoric rise, hasn't he, from you know, the youth system coming through. Obviously, he left Sunderland, didn't he, and he ended up at Borough. And just really nice to see. What I enjoyed as well in the celebrations, I mean, like I said, it was a great goal, was he went to the crowd and he lifted his arms and he wanted to get them, you know, going up to the next level, which was really nice to see. And he just thoroughly enjoyed the moments, and it was a fantastic strike.
It's probably gone, not under the radar, but he's such a good and instinctive finisher. What did go under the radar, given what followed Neil Warnock's departure, was how good his goal was at West Brom when he scored there. And when you look, you know, he's a natural finisher. He's instinctive, as I say. He's a handful for a young lad. He certainly doesn't seem to be fazed by anything, as we saw on Tuesday night. And what a finish that was. You know, every angle you look at, it was one of them where it looked like it felt pure. Do you play golf, Muzz?
No.
Golfers will know, and this is a very rare occurrence for me, but you know when you've hit one and you barely feel it. You know when you've got that perfect strike. As I say, it's very rare for me, especially with a long iron. That's what it looked like, where it was just pure right off the bat. Great finish, great scenes that follow, great celebrations for him. And, you know, speaking to everyone who has kind of had anything to do with his development at Borough, those who know him, they just say he is exactly how he comes across, you know, a humble, lovely young lad, but very hungry as well. And Johnny Houston was saying afterwards, his attitude every day is brilliant. And I think Houston said, you know, he's got a big career ahead of him. Well, Housen's not the type who he says things for the sake of saying them. You know, if he says something like that, he means it. And yeah, fair play to him. No matter what, I've said a few times, no matter what happens in his career now, hopefully he goes on to have a great career. But no matter what happens, you know, you never take that moment away, do you? The moment that you score at your home, to a local boy, comes through the academy, scores in an FA Cup, sell out Riverside to knock out Spurs. That, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
100% in that memory, like you say, will last a lifetime. Just to finish up on that game before we look ahead to the Luton game, there was a bit of needle in that in the game against Spurs. I think Spurs were getting more frustrated, and Middlesbrough were kind of, you know, they were just taking out on Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough players didn't back down, and what I liked was that we had the quality of Middlesbrough, but we also had that bit of fight and needle about them. And I don't know, to me, does that sum up, Dom, for you, what Chris Wilder's Middlesbrough is all about? They're not afraid of the fight, but they have not just a moment of quality, they have quite a lot of quality, and they can, you know, on their day, they can go out and beat anybody.
Yeah, I think the character, you know, that the we've seen that in abundance, really. even when you look at the late winners against Blackpool and that flurry of late goals that that Borough scored, the way they came back at Old Trafford and held it together to win on penalties. Early on this season, and it seems an eternity ago now, but we looked at Borough and this, you know, they were very naive in the early weeks of the season, and it was something that we said, you don't expect of a Neil Warnock team, but they were naive. They weren't as streetwise you'd expect them to be. They were a little bit kind of weak at the centre, really, a bit soft centred. But that, you know, there's nothing of the sort now. You know, you're not going to bully this Borough team out of a win. I know, as I say, it was a disappointing performance of Barnsley last week, but I think that the way Borough defended, and, you know, hopefully you put it down, was just one of those days where you draw a line under it. But I think it says everything really about the character of the team and the message that Chris Wilder's getting across, is that when there has been a setback, they've responded superbly. There was Preston where he had a niggle at the attitude and the bounce back with the win at Huddersfield, which is possibly still one of the best performances of under Chris Wilder. You know, Huddersfield haven't lost since. I think it's 17 games unbeaten since early November. But also, as well as bouncing back from setbacks, you know, after the Man United game, for example, you kind of think, is it going to be, you know, after the Lord Mayor's show now? But it wasn't. Borough kicked on. And, you know, looking ahead to Luton this weekend, that's exactly what Borough need to do, because you can't take your eye off the ball in the Championship. Borough slipped out the top six last week. Luton are flying, Sheffield United are flying, Borough's next two opponents. And, you know, if the next two games didn't go to plan for Borough, then they could have left themselves a little bit of a mountain to climb. If they do go to plan, then you think, A, what a statement, and B, what a boost it's going to be to have beaten Spurs in the FA Cup, to have Chelsea to look forward to, and to get one over on two rivals. So it's you know, this next 4 or 5 days is as crucial a spell as we've seen under Wilder so far, undoubtedly.
Yeah, 100%. And just finally on the Cup game, one of the things I did love, and if you were at the stadium, you might have not had seen it, but when the final whistle went and Wilder walked onto the pitch, obviously the cameraman's doing his job and he's straight into the face with the camera. And it looked to me like Wilder, no uncertain terms, told him to get out of his face, and putting it politely. And I thought it was a great moment. Me and my dad certainly applauded that. We were.
I didn't see that. I enjoyed it. It was good because Coburn was being interviewed by BBC, presumably, for the TV, and they had him kind of down near the dugouts. And it was when all the players were over celebrating in front of the south stand and dancing and bouncing along, and kind of you could see Coburn looking, and, you know, he was desperate to be part of it, and they were obviously waiting to get the nod from the studio or whatever, and he finally got the nod to go over and join in with the celebrations. And, you know, when he did go over, the players were just moving on, but the south stand made sure they gave him, and it was probably better for him because he had that moment on his own then.
Well, the audio wasn't working, so they asked him a question. The audio just didn't, it was just crackling, so they decided they are.
Is that why it was?
Yeah,
right.
So that's why you got to let go early. But I was thinking the same thing when I was watching. You were thinking, just let him go. And it seems to be a good journalist.
And the cup finals or whatever. Yeah, I know they've got a job to do. But yeah, you think, because those scenes at full time were brilliant. The atmosphere and, you know, I think I'd read a couple of things saying it's one of the best Riverside nights since the European nights. And it absolutely undoubtedly was. But, you know, when you talk about the great Riverside nights, one that always comes up is the semi-final win over Liverpool in 98. And, you know, this was right up there. I'm not saying, you know, that was a semi-final. Obviously, a Borough absolutely blew Liverpool away. So it's not a direct comparison. But this is undoubtedly one of those nights that will still be getting talked about, as was the Man United win. You know, this is one of those nights that will still be getting talked about years down the line, especially in the Coburn household.
Yes, I imagine. Fingers crossed, another great night when Chelsea do arrive. We mentioned there, you know, getting beat off Barnsley, and we said, oh, well, hopefully it's just a little slip in the road. But we've also mentioned the games they've got coming up. Now, you know, we can't afford Middlesbrough to have too many bumps in the road, given how tight it is in the league and how many games are remaining. And especially, like we say, they're facing teams around them where, if they do slip up, that hands the advantage directly to the rivals who are battling for, you know, these four playoff places. So, Is the way they performed against Spurs and the way they dominated most of the game, is there a slight frustration, you think, Dom? I mean, do you have a slight frustration that they do then, you know, they slipped up against Barnsley, a team really when you're aiming for the top, you shouldn't be losing to the bottom side in the league?
I think that Barnsley game was, you know, I didn't see it coming. And I know, you know, typical Borough and all that, but I didn't go into it. The way Barnsley have been playing, I know they won last week beforehand, but and the way Borough have been playing, I didn't see that one coming. It's not like Borough have been really hit and miss in the league, and then they pull out the performance like that in the cup. Largely, they've been extremely consistent since Chris Wilder took charge. The away form is undoubtedly an issue. You know, the recent performances and more the point results away from home haven't been up to scratch, and that obviously puts pressure on the home games. But they're certainly coping with that pressure. It's 8 wins on the bounce now at home. But you know, these next two games, Luton and Sheffield United, you know, if someone offered you 4 points now, beat Luton and draw Sheffield United, I don't think there's many fans who turn the nose up at that. Luton are flying. Yeah, I watched them in midweek against Chelsea, and they were very unlucky. They, you know, they've won 3 on the bounce. They're into the top 6 now, 2 points ahead of Borough. And without pointing out the blatantly obvious, either Borough jump ahead of them tomorrow, or they find themselves 5 points behind. And just like that, you know, it turns, and then suddenly Borough are having to play catch up. So I think these next two games certainly must not lose games. You want to win one of them. But I don't think, yeah, there's a frustration at how last Saturday played out. That was a poor performance and a game you'd expect to win. But I think on the whole, you know, you've got to be delighted with the level of performances and results. Borough, you know, you need to kind of remind yourself as to where Borough were really when Chris Wilder took charge. At that point, you kind of thought, well, if we can force our way into the playoff picture, it's testament to the work Wilder's done that only a few weeks ago, and even still now, you'd say it would be a disappointment if Borough didn't make the top 6. Now, obviously, that, you know, with the early form comes expectation, but as Wilder said, that's what you want, because that expectation shows that you're playing well. It shows that you're getting results. That's how you're going to get bums back on seats. You know, the fans who were there in midweek, they're going to want to come back. It's going to be another sellout for Chelsea. So that's something that the good teams just have to deal with. You just hope now, such a good feel factor around the place after that midweek win. You know, if you could make it 9 wins on the bounce at home and, you know, give a punch to the gut of one of your rivals, then it'd really round off a brilliant week after the disappointment of Barnsley last Saturday.
Certainly would do. But you know what tends to happen in these situations? We'll be on the next podcast saying they've backed down to earth with a bump. But fingers crossed we won't be. There's always that chance in football, isn't there? And it won't be an easy game, Dom, because Luton, for many, the surprise package, you know, but they deserve to be where they are. You know, they've performed really well this season. And, you know, I mean, obviously, they're right in the mix for it. How do you see it going? Because it could be one for the neutrals, really. You've got 2 informed teams, you know, going at it, 2 teams in good spirits, as you say. It could be a really good game to watch.
Yeah, well, you know, Luton are pretty fearless. They kind of don't sit back. I think, you know, watching their game in midweek, I can't remember which pundits were on, but it was Michael Richards, obviously. He was saying that when he'd heard Nathan Jones beforehand say that they were going to start on, they're going to play on the front foot, he kind of thought, you know, that's suicide against a team like Chelsea. They'll just pick you off. But they did play like that, and they took the game to them, and they were unlucky, certainly not to take it to extra time. You know, they only play one way. They're bold. As you say, they are absolutely in the playoff picture now with the way they're going. But at the minute, other than Fulham, on home turf, Borough are probably the team that you wouldn't want to play. You know, 8 wins in a row. It's a fantastic record. It's that consistency that, you know, every team craves for at home. So I'd still fancy Borough to do the job tomorrow and to build on the midweek win. And then that sets the trip to Sheffield United up perfectly. And, you know, a win tomorrow, but likely get Borough back in the top six, or certainly right knocking on the door again without working out the maths. So, I think, there's no getting away from the importance of the game. But so far in those big games, especially at home, Bournemouth, Forest, Spurs in midweek, West Brom last week, Borough have risen to the occasion.
Fingers crossed they do again. We'll bring you full coverage of that game via our live blog on GazetteLive.co.uk. And if you head over to the website now, you can read all the comments from Chris Wilder and his press conference. Please remember to like and follow the podcast through your podcast provider and leave us a rating and review. And of course, pass the pod amongst your Borough supporting family and friends. Dom, thank you for joining us. Craig, all being well, should be back with us next week, and hopefully we're talking about another Borough win. And yeah, enjoy your weekend.